Hi there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where every week we tackle big questions from a spiritual perspective. I'm Carlos Machado. When is it too late to fix a bad situation? Is it before the circumstances develop that will inevitably lead to pain, crime, or injustice? What about things that are happening right now? Is it already too late for them, or things that have already happened? We know there's a lot of talk in society today about fixing or preventing things that have gone wrong. And while those conversations and efforts are very good and welcome, there's always the feeling that for some issues, there's nothing we can do. The time has passed. Well, here at Sentinel Watch, we look at things from a spiritual perspective, and today we'll be talking about an approach that gives us agency to heal these problems in our communities and in our world today. And here's the bonus. It's freely available to everyone. There's no funding necessary. Our guest today is Janet Hagerty. She's a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from St. Louis, Missouri, and that means she devotes her full time to helping people with issues through the spiritually scientific approach to prayer found in Christian Science. Janet, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Oh, thank you, Carlos. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm delighted that you're here too. And I find it interesting that you didn't grow up with Christian Science, and yet it's something that you devote your full time to. I wonder if you could share with us what got you interested in Christian Science to begin with, and especially to such a degree that you could say it's become your devotion.
Well, when I met my husband and his family, they are lifetime Christian scientists, and I noticed that they had an entirely different way of approaching life. And I didn't understand it all at the beginning, but I liked what I saw because when a problem came up, they were very peaceful. And they would have, you know, an expectation that everything was going to work out in situations that were a surprise to me, that they would even expect that good would happen. So I really was impressed by that. And right away, I started to look into Christian Science, because I thought, this is much better than what I've known before.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a good approach. Did you find that it was useful to you right away, or was it something that kind of took some time to get a handle of?
It was useful right away, I would say, immediately. My husband and I, we weren't married then, so our relationship grew and we were having more time together. I would meet friends of his who were also Christian scientists. And I do remember something that happened very, very early on that I wanted to share.
Oh, yeah, please do.
We went to a home of a friend of his. It was a husband and wife, and they had a little girl. She was walking and everything, but she was probably, you know, under 4 years old. And I had never been around a little person like that. It just hadn't been in my life that I was around people younger than me very much. And so I was, you know, enjoying that experience. But in the course of it, we went down a set of stairs. And not being very familiar with little ones, I kind of reached out in her direction because I thought that she was going to tumble down. Mm-hmm. And in fact, then she did tumble down.
Oh, no.
And I felt very responsible.
Yeah.
And the Christian Science mom came over and picked her up when she was crying, and then she had scratched up her knees. And my first thing was that I was feeling really bad. But then a little bit of the Christian Science that I was learning came into my thinking. And my first thing I thought was, oh, well, all these people are Christian scientists. They're all praying for this little one. And I thought that was good. And then an idea that I had picked up, that my intent to steady her with my hand was a loving thing, that I had been doing a loving thing to her, and that loving thing couldn't be turned into a bad thing. And then I forgot all about it. And we went on with the day. And very soon afterwards, I noticed her little knees were just like nothing had ever happened.
The scrapes were gone.
The scrapes were gone.
Wow. Why did you think that what you and her parents were thinking about her was related to her scrapes being gone?
You know, at that moment, I was just kind of trusting all this good I was seeing from Christian Science. But as I went on and pondered that moment in time, you know, I realized the power of right thinking, the power of good thoughts. And those thoughts are more than just my personal brain sort of thoughts. That thought that came to me, because I was really very upset about this, the thought that came to me that I had been doing a loving thing was a thought from God. It was beyond my own human reasoning at that moment. And I came to learn that day that these thoughts from God take us out of the material realm of things, the physical, the scraped knees, and make us aware of God, of this wonderful, ever-present mind. There is a statement in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mrs. Eddy's book, Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, where she explains what God is. She says, God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And this mind that is God is reality. So when we're aware of these thoughts from God, we realize that reality, that perfect goodness that comes from an all-knowing, all-good God.
Well, I have to say, first of all, that's a beautiful picture of that experience with that little girl. I'm sure that was so precious for you. I'm wondering, how did you know at that moment, or how have you come to know in your practice since, when a thought is coming from God versus just maybe a nice thought that makes you feel better about a situation? But I know I've had plenty of those that don't result in healing or something that shows as an outward expression of God's presence.
That's a really good question. And I had that question for a long time. And I even had a prayer in which I asked God, you know, to help me know when it's a thought from Him. From this principle. And an idea came back that it's likely that it's going to be something I don't already know.
Interesting.
And I did find that helpful. And also, I realized that because God is love and is good, as the Bible tells us, and all wise, that God is never going to tell me something that would be bad. God is never going to tell me something that would be harmful to myself or someone else, so that I could, you know, distinguish between thoughts just floating around and the ones from God. The ones from God always lift us up. They always bring our thought to that expectation of good that I could see in my husband's family.
Yeah. I find that really interesting because, as I mentioned in the introduction, there's a lot of conversation, obviously, in society today about all kinds of issues, things that have gone wrong, that are going wrong. And I think it's not just me, but I think a lot of us find a lot of that conversation very fear-inducing, sometimes depressing. You know, it comes along with a lot of baggage. And it sometimes feels like it's important for us to engage with that, because otherwise we're not caring about the situation and we're turning away from it. But it sounds like in your approach, you know that if that thought is something that produces good in you, that's when you know it's from God. And obviously from that experience you shared, that those types of thoughts have an effect. I wonder if you've ever had an experience where using this approach to prayer, this approach to thought, has led you to see something change sort of in the community at large, perhaps you know, not just your immediate surrounding, because I think it'd be interesting to think about how we know that those thoughts about the greater world also have an effect and not just for those things that we're seeing immediately.
Well, one night I was really sound asleep, and so was everyone else in the house. And a very loud noise awakened me, which started to give me concern that maybe someone was breaking into something in the neighborhood or even in our home. But I didn't hear anything else and didn't want to disturb the rest of the house. So I prayed, and my prayer started out just with one of the wonderful things about God, that God is ever present. And I was thinking, well, what a beautiful thought. That means that God is present right here with me. God is present in each of the rooms of the house where the children were at that time. And God is present all around my house. God is present in this, you know, entire neighborhood. And what it felt like to me that that meant God being present was the goodness of God was present in all those places. And the love of God was present in all those places. And it also occurred to me that wherever that sound had happened, that God was present there, that God's good thoughts and intelligence and love were present right there. Well, I liked those prayers. I was grateful. And then, though, another thought came to me, and that thought was, well, you're thinking there could be a thief, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the same thing just now.
Yeah. And so, yes, I was. I had to be honest. And I thought, you know, that I should pray about that too. And kind of reaching out for that awareness of God, the thought came to me, which I had never had before, that God didn't make a class of persons called thieves.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, that's right. He didn't make anyone earmarked to be a thief. That every idea, man, woman, and child, that God created is good, like God, and is naturally prone to do right and prone to do good. And I've really appreciated that thought, and I stood corrected and was really kind of relieved to know that that there were no thieves by design. There was only goodness by design. Only goodness. And I felt really good about that prayer, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, okay, well, I think I can let this go and go to sleep now. But as I started to doze off, another thought came to me. And that thought was, how could those prayers do any good if someone has already stolen something?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had that thought before.
Yeah. And I kind of took a deep breath and went, oh, really? I have to answer that question? I wanted to go to sleep. But it was demanding. This statement that had come to me was demanding. So I thought, well, I don't know the answer to this. So, dear God, help me. Can you give me an answer? And I reached that spiritual sense, that awareness of God. And a very interesting thought came back. And that thought was that if someone had made a mistake and stolen something, I'm still right there with them.
Meaning God was right there with them?
Yes. Yes, meaning God. And I'm giving them good ideas. Giving them a sense of their true identity, their spiritual individuality. And this was very meaningful to me at that time, beyond the demand that I answer that question. It was meaningful to me because I had been making a lot of mistakes. Oh, not stealing something, but just maybe putting my foot in my mouth, as they say. And I could have been doing better. And I was feeling bad about that. And here I thought, well, this intuition, this inspiration from God is telling me that if we make a mistake, God doesn't abandon us. And I had felt like that, actually. I'd felt that, you know, and I would do some of these things that were maybe unkind or whatever, that then I was abandoned because I hadn't stuck with my true selfhood. And this intuition from the prayer gave me such a sense of love. I realized at that moment that God, love, was much, much bigger and more wonderful than I had known. I tangibly felt love. I felt it in a deep way. I felt a warmth and a tenderness. And then I fell off back to sleep, went to sleep. The next day, a neighbor came knocking on the door, and she had to tell me something very important. I said, "What's up?" And she said, "Well, did you hear that noise last night?" And I said, "Yes, I did." She said, "Well, someone broke into the garage by our house, and they took several items." And I started to think, oh, maybe I should have done something other than prayed. Terrible thought. But I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she said, "No, no, no, that's not the end of the story." She said, "All of the items that they had taken from the garage were found three houses away."
Oh, wow.
"Just laying in the front lawn of this neighbor's house." And she said, "Nothing was damaged and nothing was missing." And again, I felt that love, you know, just pouring into my thought.
Enjoying this edition of Sentinel Watch? Want to go deeper? There's so much more to explore at the online home of the Christian Science magazines, the Christian Science Journal, the Christian Science Sentinel, and the Herald of Christian Science. The web address is jsh.christianscience.com. You can search an ever-expanding 140-plus year archive of articles and past programs full of helpful, healing ideas and insights. That's jsh.christianscience.com. Let's get back to this week's conversation. I love that story. And I love how the inspiration included you too. It seemed like it was healing for something you were dealing with, as well as obviously, you know, what was happening in your neighborhood.
That's right. And that happens when we pray.
Yeah.
I mean, when we pray for ourselves, it helps other people. When we pray for other people, it helps us. The wonderful thing about God is that God is a governing principle, and he governs us all universally, which has the result of our being inspired to do the right thing, to know what it is and to do it. So it's natural for us to be responsive to goodness. That realization that God didn't give up on us when we made mistakes gave me a lot of courage in the right direction. It gave me confidence that it wasn't natural to me to keep making mistakes, that it was natural to me to do the right thing, natural for me to be kind when I was speaking, natural for me to bring good into a situation. And because God only conceives of us as good, that principle, that governing aspect of God, is always upholding that in us. And that was a tremendous relief to me to realize that, to begin to accept my true goodness as the image and likeness of God. Everyone's true goodness as the image and likeness of God.
I think this can be really encouraging to somebody who feels like they are dealing with an issue that seems like it's too late to find a solution for. I wonder if someone out there is thinking, you know, even though they had already stolen something in this case, because obviously they had taken stuff out of a garage in the neighborhood, maybe, you know, you still caught them right at the right time where there was time for them to leave something three doors down. Maybe someone's dealing with something that happened years ago. Somebody hurt them or injured them in some way. Something happened to them that seems long and gone. And I wonder how you think about that. How much does this approach really stretch? And what do you think is the potential here?
There's infinite potential, because that's one of the attributes of God, that God is infinite. So there's infinite good, and it stretches in all directions. One of those things in that definition of God is that God is eternal. No hard beginning, no hard stop. It doesn't end. The goodness of God is everlasting. And that means it also was always everlasting. So we can pray about things in the past, and we should, because we don't need to carry around any unreality, you know, anything that doesn't come from God, that doesn't really exist. I got a better sense of my past that night when I was praying, because I realized how infinite love was and how I was loved, how I was completely worthy and cared for. Now, things can seem pretty solid sometimes, but whether it's a thought or some physical expression of something or result of something that happened a long time ago, it was never true. It was never a part of God. So it is possible to see things like those scratched up knees. But in that instance, when my thought was lifted up to God and God being love and me being the outcome of love, I couldn't see those scratched knees anymore. And neither could the little girl. They were gone because they were never really a part of God's creation. So it never was. So we can pray about it today. We can pray about it at any time. And in our daily, you know, hourly endeavor to turn to that spiritual sense, we are finding ideas from God that meet every need.
I like what you're saying, and tying it back to your example where you got that inspiration that God, mind, was there wherever the wrongdoing was going on. It gives me a view that is hopeful in the sense that it's so practical, because a lot of the approaches that we hear about for solving issues really take someone being physically there. But I think we can all sort of envision that anyone can get inspiration at any moment. And so, you know, that seems to have just so much promise. I'm wondering if there's maybe somebody out there who's thinking, I like what I'm hearing. I want to start thinking about things in this way and you know, maybe see what I can contribute to the world. Or even I am trying to do this and I'm getting some inspiration. How can you help them get to the point where the prayer feels the way that it does for you, where you know that it is having an outcome and that it's not just, like I said before, nice thoughts that we're having, but that it has that power of God behind it?
In the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, it says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." To me, that's a reassurance that we can be aware of the almighty goodness and presence of God, that everyone is aware of it. I found that as I went deeper into Christian Science, that I had seen and experienced things before I knew even the words Christian Science, that affirmed what I was learning in Christian Science. And that is something that everyone will find as they go along this route. They have heard a word behind them, you know, showing them which way to go in their lives. And that really builds our confidence in these ideas. And historically, you start to see things in history where everyone was expecting one thing to happen from what they'd read in the news, and something entirely different and better takes place. The one mind, God, is love and is actively loving us. God is not passive and is actively loving everyone. God doesn't go, you know, here's the Christian Scientist and here's the other people. No, God is just love, universal love. I think that was evident with my experience with that theft. Love was touching me. Love was touching everyone and guiding through good ideas. The divine mind is manifesting goodness at all times, giving the right ideas, or giving, you know, from the infinite intelligence of God, an idea that no one had thought of, that brings love out, that brings freedom out.
Janet, thank you so much for spending this time with us and sharing these ideas with us. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Well, it was all my pleasure, Carlos, and thank you for having me.
Janet Hagerty is a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from St. Louis, Missouri. And you've been listening to Sentinel Watch, a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Carlos Machado. This episode was produced by our associate producer, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll see you next week.
Looking for a special gift or hoping to encourage someone in their spiritual journey? Give a gift of comfort and hope with a JSH online gift subscription. You can give a 3, 6, or 12-month subscription. Help others discover examples of healing and timeless inspiration. Visit christianscience.com/gifts.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.
Thanks for joining us on Sentinel Watch. If you liked this episode, please consider subscribing to our show and leaving a rating. You can find new episodes weekly on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find our entire archive of Sentinel Watch episodes online at sentinel.christianscience.com. If you have comments or questions about this podcast, you can reach us through the Contact Us link, also found on our website.